Hi, and welcome to our podcast, M&C. I'm Mercedes.
And I'm Chase.
And today we'll be talking about a little bit of ourselves and what we believe in America's history. All right, so we're back at, you know, our podcast session. And I have my first interview question for you, Chase. So, my question is, you know, we often have a very, you know, narrow and kind of like stereotypical look at how African American history was. And like, we usually think of African American history as like rooted in slavery and civil rights. And it's kind of mainly, you know, is on that aspect. And like, you know, what's like one thing like you would share that you've like learned in the last week about like, you know, like the slavery narratives that we wrote, you know, examples of and stuff like that, like outside of those, like what are like, some things you learned about it?
Yeah. So, a couple things I didn't know about the history was that a bunch of like slavery, we thought like it kind of just started with like, you know, dominant like white people, but It actually like traveled back all the way down to like the ancient times and then like the Egyptians and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought like that was like really interesting because that was something that like I did not know. And that was like something that like really like caught my attention really quick. And then I know they talked about like how some of the slaves were treated in like the South and like how they were like put on these ships and that the ships were just like really disgusting and horrible and that like a lot of people like committed suicide just because like, they felt there was like no need to be on the ship anymore or anything like that. And then once they got to those like the plantations and everything that like they were set in like, I think they said like rice fields.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then like everything was like, I don't know, like the rice or something became more valuable because it was from the slaves, something like that. And then like, oh my gosh, what was the other thing? Oh, was it like girls, like ages from like, what, like 6 or 10 or something? Like they would get like sexually assaulted. Like,
mm-hmm.
And they're not like really stopped me because I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you know, I kind of agree with you about the whole the 6-year-olds to like, you know, whatever age. And you know, I also, you know, learned that they would take wood, that they would find like spare pieces of wood and they would, you know, kind of cut it up like small enough and they would use that as a way for, you know, when if that were to ever happen to them, you know, the men, you know, obviously couldn't, it would hurt them, so obviously they wouldn't want to do it. But it would also, you know, cause, you know, death, you know, for the women because obviously that's not supposed to be there. But yeah, I just, you know, and like when you were talking about the ancient times and stuff like that, I didn't know that even like other African Americans had slaves of their own. It was like a certain period of time, but like, and you know, they would obviously like for other places, you know, they did have that, and I was not aware of that whatsoever. You know, I just definitely thought it was just like white dominated. So yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right. And we will be back after this little break with our next interview.
Mercedes, we've got a couple of questions for her, and we'll dive right into it. So, my first set of questions today for you will be how we look at African American history and some of the stuff that you kind of like learned about the history that, like, you know, that has been rooted and stuff. So, we just want to get your take on how that has been.
Oh, okay. So one thing that I, you know, that really stood out to me is, you know, I was only aware that, you know, slaves couldn't own any land and that they weren't, you know, able to buy their own property at all or, you know, even really make money. And so when I found out that they actually did buy land, but it was on their slave owner's property, I was like, oh, well, that, you know, like that's a place for them to live. Like, you know, that's a new step. But then I also learned that the profits that the slaves would get and the money that they would get, more than half of it actually did go to the slave owners, and they would take a lot of their profit, which, you know, obviously that sucks because, you know, that's how they, you know, pay for their property, you know, how they pay for food, you know, how to support their family. And so that was one thing that really stuck out to me. And kind of another thing that stuck out to me is how you were saying how slavery went not even past, like, from what we've known for, like, the whole civil rights and stuff like that. It went all the way back into ancient times, you know, and I didn't know that. So, you know, that's how, like, I, you know, learned new things.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, it was, like, upon, like, decades of, like, slavery, and, like, it's horrible, but it's also, you know, the movements that we've had in, like, the past that, like, have, like, fought for, you know, equal rights for everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's so important that, you know, especially today in 2021, how far we've come and how further we can go in the future.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah. All right, we'll see you guys in the next section. All right, welcome back, everyone. We're here again with Mercedes on our next section and topics.
Yes, sir.
So, for these set of questions, I will be asking you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so from using, like, document CMD that we have previously learned, mm-hmm. How do those documents differ, and what is it? How does it influence, like, your perspective on everything?
So document, they're actually pretty similar, but document C was a lot talking about how, you know, their slave owners did treat them pretty fairly, but they weren't ever able to learn basic education, like, you know, reading and writing. And so they never got to learn education, you know, the way that others did and how they got to learn that. And when the slaves were sick or there was something wrong, the slave owners would actually take them to a doctor to get treated or have a doctor come there. Because not only do they need to make sure, like, you know, the slaves are healthy enough to work, but also if a slave does die, if something happens, you know, that's the slave owner losing money and losing profit. So they do have to take care of them. And document B is a little bit similar how, you know, the slave owners did, you know, treat them pretty well. If they were sick or they needed anything, you know, they did get it. But it also, for document C, they really did elaborate on the whole, if the more children, you know, the woman gave birth to or, you know, had, the more valuable she became. Because, you know, when, you know, when women give birth and stuff for that, especially the slaves, the slave owners would either, you know, separate them from their families and sell them to get more money, or they would raise them, obviously, mothers would raise them, but still being in that slave environment, which was more slaves, which meant more work, you know, happening, and which meant, you know, more profit for them. So yeah. In general, you know, especially, you know, during that time where women were, like, more able to give birth, you know, it was, you know, like, they really kind of pushed for it because they really did want, you know, the more the money, it's the better. But, you know, my perspective on it, it, you know, really kind of did show, you know, like, some places, you know, did, like, treat their, you know, slaves pretty fairly. Obviously, slavery shouldn't have never been a thing, but for it happening, they were treated pretty fairly in these documents. But I know there was another document where they weren't treated that well at all, you know. Anything they did that was, you know, somehow out of line, you know, they got beaten and, you know, whips and stuff like that, and, you know, it was not the best, and, you know families had to watch others get, you know, beaten and in trouble and, you know, split up. And so that's kind of my perspective on it.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's the hard history that, you know, that we had to learn, and unfortunately it is really graphic and a sensitive subject for all, but mm-hmm. It really does get us more into detail and really get us to put us in their shoes. So all of it is very educational.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, so I have another question for you for the segment.
Uh-huh.
And the question is, does the way someone sounds, so like the way that they talk,
uh-huh,
does it impact the way that you think about them at all?
You know, I do. I think that's how it is. You know, if someone walked up to me, say I was walking to Starbucks, you know, and if someone came up to me and was speaking and, you know, it wasn't how, you know, I was raised to speak, or it wasn't very, like, you can tell that they're less educated or something like that, yeah, I'm going to have my first opinions on them. I may not say anything about it, but, you know, sadly, that is how we are. We are going to judge someone on based on the way they talk. You know, that could, you know, even go deeper for some people on their backgrounds or, you know, how they are as a person. And sadly, that's something that probably, you know, obviously shouldn't be a thing, but it is what we think about when we listen to somebody talk. And I do think that's definitely a thing where we do judge somebody based on how they talk and, you know, how they approach themselves to you.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think the tone and how someone presents themselves is a very big look on how you look at them and your first thoughts and opinions. So yeah, I totally, definitely 100% agree.
Mm-hmm.
But that is all my questions for this segment. So all right. Thank you, and we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, and we are back with Chase.
Hi.
All right, so for my questions for you, which obviously are pretty similar, using Documents B&C, how would you say the both of their accounts differ, and how does it influence your perspective on it?
Document B&C talked a lot about how slaves were treated and some of the advantages that they're able to have and stuff, mm-hmm, like that. They talked a lot about how they didn't really have a lot of educational resources.
Yeah.
As well as a lot of other stuff. But one of the things that were pointed out, I think that you said, is that some slaves were, of course, granted access to hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Or medical attention of some sort, which I thought was really interesting because, you know, some of them are treated so badly. So it's just like, you know, how much the plantation owners would go like that far just to like get a profit off of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also talked about how like women, I think that you said, became more valuable about how many children that they had.
Yeah.
Because obviously, the plantation owners and whatever, they make so much profit off of that. So a lot of the stuff from B&C is like, that's what I got from it. So
got it. All right. And the way that someone can come across or talks or sounds to you when they talk to you, how does it impact the way that you think about them?
Yeah. So I think first impressions are big for like everyone, and gives, mm-hmm, you an insight of who the person is and like their personality a little bit. So I think the way that somebody's talking to you is definitely really important on how you're gonna like get a vibe off of them. Like,
mm-hmm,
if like I come up to you and you're just like, oh, like you know, like not really paying attention, not really making eye contact, not really like caring, like, yeah, that's gonna set me off a little bit. And especially like the tone, like,
yeah,
everybody has like different tones in their voices, especially like depending on some of the people that you're talking to, unfortunately. So it really goes for everyone, and unfortunately, like, not everyone is gonna be like super nice to you right off the bat. Like,
yeah,
you kind of have to, like, you know, try your best. At least for me personally, I try my best to like give them at least a chance, you know.
Before I
like judge them right off. So yeah, I think tone is very, the way someone talks is really, a first indicator of how the person might be. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally get that. And that is it for this segment, and we'll catch you after.
All right, everyone, we're back with our next segment of today's podcast. So, Mercedes, I have a couple more questions for you, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
We're going to jump straight into it. Okay, so, first question for you is, where did you see the most inspirational acts of resistance, and why were they most inspirational to you?
I really thought the abolition movement was the most inspirational acts of resistance, because not only was it, you know, to help end slavery, but it also kind of gave them other rights, I guess, in a way. There was rights so they could, you know, vote, which was a really big thing because, you know, when you were a slave, you had no rights at all. You know, you couldn't vote. You couldn't own your own land. You know, you couldn't do anything by yourself. And I think this was a really big thing because, you know, for being a slave, getting that access, it was just a very big thing. And I just think that was a huge thing that the abolition movement, besides obviously like helping to end slavery, did.
Yeah.
And what was most inspirational to you was kind of what I just like, you know, elaborated on. It was, you know, so much happened during that time. And this was one of the big things that got people, you know, moving and, you know, really talking about how to end slavery. But of course, when that did happen, they had things like the Black Codes, which, you know, limited, you know, slaves and African Americans again, which, you know, sucks that it happened, but, you know, it did. And, you know, that limited them being able to have it.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So for my next question for you today was that, how was humanity taken back by those acts of resistance?
It was kind of like I was talking about earlier, which was the whole, you know, voting situation. And obviously people being able to be freed, not usually, you know, everybody 100%, but, you know, them having the votes, voting rights, which, you know, obviously led to more acts and more things to, you know, go towards that. But then after, you know, after that whole abolition movement, you know, the Congress passed the, you know, three amendments, which was like the 13th Amendment, which was to end slavery, the 14th Amendment, which did guarantee, you know, African-American rights. And basically, if you were born in that area, you were, if you're African-American, white, whatever you were a citizen. Before, African-Americans weren't seen as citizens at all.
Right.
And, you know, that was the big thing. And then you had the 15th Amendment, which, you know, guaranteed African-American men the constitutional right, you know, to vote, to do things, and, you know, to be able to actually, you know, in the Reconstruction, which, you know, led African-Americans to get jobs, like government jobs, like, you know, helping in the wars, you know, and being able to actually go there, and, you know, more of, like, you know, African-Americans to go to church, you know, have basically be a normal person, which they weren't given that life before. And so that whole movement led to so much more, and that's why I have so much appreciation for it. And so that's, you know, kind of what I think.
Yeah, I agree with you all the way on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. That answers all my questions.
All right. All right, and we are back. So my question, you know, diving into this off the bat, is, you know, Chase, where did you see the most inspirational acts of resistance? And, you know, how was it, you know, inspirational to you?
One of the most inspirational acts of resistance for me was one of the things that we've learned about how some of the slaves joined in one of the wars with the British, I believe. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it was the British.
Yeah.
Because they were so tired of, like, how they were being treated, and they literally had a chance to, like, get some of, like, the patronism in. Mm-hmm. And everything that, you know, that, like, they've been feeling, like, they kind of got it to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry for that. And then, yeah, they just got a really good chance to, like, really feel wanted, you know?
Yeah, I totally see what you mean. And then how do you think from, you know, that inspirational resistance act, how do you think humanity was taken back?
Just not only in, like, that act specifically, I think there were so many acts that, you know, obviously led up to where I had mentioned before, and, mm-hmm. like, the last thing it was, like, how, like, society is, especially in America in 2021, yeah. We had to build up, and, like, it's because of those resistance that we are able to have the opportunities for people of color today, and, of course, for any other people that, you know, we come here, of course.
Yeah.
It's just so important because, you know, this is, like, decades and decades of suffering and torture and working so hard, and it's so important that we, like, have to recognize these people and, of course, you know, really just praise them for all the trauma that they've been through, and because it's, you know, not fair. And of course, today with everyone's political views and everyone's very divided, and it's just really important that, you know, we share the history and that everyone is being heard out.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Now, with our next little segment, which is kind of short, I have a little advertisement to advocate. So at my high school, Wood Creek High School, we are having, since it's the month of February, Black History Month. Now, we really touch on, you know, specific African Americans who impacted our society now and our culture every week. And we also do have a club on campus. I believe it's Black Student Union. I could be wrong, but I know we do have a club that advertises that. And, you know, we really spread the word on how Black History Month, how important it is, and how it touches on very, you know, obviously sensitive subjects, but it's definitely something that people need to listen to. And, you know, we also had that whole movement, which is Black Lives Matter. And so that kind of contributes into it too a little bit, because we can talk about, you know, other just then, you know, the kind of, every single time, you know, we have Black History Month, it's just always, oh, you know, here's these people, this is what they did. But now we have something that's current and that happened, you know, to us in our teenage lives right now that we can, you know, add into there. And so that is something that's very important and that we all look forward to having in February. And, you know, teachers also, you know, we do door decorating, you know, to kind of advertise it more. You know, we have it read in bulletins. And I just think it's really important that, you know, that is really touched on. And that is it for today's podcast episode. Some of the sources that we used were our material from our own classroom and our history textbook and some ed puzzles that we also got from our teacher. And thank you for tuning in to this podcast. Chase, is there anything you want to say before we end?
Adios, amigos.
Ciao.